Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Good morning to you and all colleagues. We had a discussion of the last paragraph yesterday. I had presented it in the context of the debate, tried to accommodate the various views of colleagues, and circulated a document that I indicated I will probably revisit overnight because of the end of our time, and then present back to the colleagues this morning. So having looked at it and taking on board the suggestions that had been made, I have a slightly revised proposal that tries to balance the different views that I heard from colleagues, including suggestions to add a footnote authority. So I'll get an opportunity later to speak about the draft conclusions that we'll be dealing with, conclusions 1 through 3. But for now, just focusing on paragraph 6, I'd like to read the paragraph as slightly revised. And there are some small textual adjustments that I'll come to later on with the help of the chair, where we're using now, in terms of the general commentary, this idea of the way, which is not as elegant as the word aims. And I see the aim, which was the original text, was preferred by several colleagues and also myself. But those are minor things that are not directly concerning paragraph 6. I only flag them, and a couple of footnotes that needed to be added. I'll only flag them now for later on. For now, just in terms of paragraph 6, it would basically read, keeping this point in mind about clarity, with respect to the second aim, so I am hoping that we'll keep the second aim, and so with respect to the second aim, which concerns a consistent methodological approach, Article 38 is the applicable law provision of the Statute of the International Court of Justice. However, its significance stems not only from its inclusion in the statute of the principal judicial organ of the United Nations and the only universal court with general jurisdiction, but also from the broader acceptance and reliance on Article 38 by states and tribunals, as well as legal scholars, as an authoritative statement of the sources of international law under customary international law. So you have the text from yesterday, and you could see the slight changes in what I'm reading. And it will continue. There is no suggestion from the practices of states and international organizations or established literature that Article 38 is an exhaustive enumeration of the sources of international law or the subsidiary means for the determination of rules of international law. Thus, in addition to judicial decisions and teachings, which may be thought of as the traditional subsidiary means, the present draft conclusions will also address additional subsidiary means prevalent in the practice of states and international organizations, which will be elaborated in later draft conclusions. The view was, however, expressed that the list of subsidiary means found in Article 38, paragraph 1D, can be read broadly to address contemporary developments. So that's the text with the slight adjustments that I indicated. This is the text that was circulated yesterday with some adjustments. I have two footnotes that I will flag. So there was an interesting discussion about the status of the ICJ as the principal judicial organ of the United Nations. So in the second sentence, where it says the statute of the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, I drop a footnote to the United Nations Charter, Article 92, which basically says that. And then there's a second footnote, which is an attempt to respond to the suggestion of a colleague who wanted an authority. This is to address the point about the non-exhaustive nature of Article 38. And I make a reference from among many possible references I could have added, but I wanted to keep it short, to Alain Pelé Article 38 of the Statute of the International Court of Justice in Andrea Zimmermann, that volume, the standard Oxford volume, that deals with Article 38. So it's a reference to the Pele commentary to Article 38, where he mentions at paragraphs 76 and 90 that one of the main criticisms of Article 38 is its incompleteness, and this is certainly well-founded if one considers the four subparagraphs of paragraph 1A as a comprehensive list of the sources of international law. It's the standard Pele commentary that's known to colleagues. So it's a reference. This is a Pele commentary to Article 38 in the Oxford commentary. So that's just dealing with the point about having an academic authority to support the proposition, which is a suggestion that's responsive to the suggestion of one colleague yesterday. So, Madam Chairperson, that's my proposal, and my hope is that because I've done a real delicate balancing act of accommodating all the views, that we can quickly adopt this and move on to the conclusions themselves. Thank you.